Jenny Heckburn with Jenny's Tattletales. Today, Andrea and I have the very wonderful Miss Tina Stettler, and she is a romance mystery, paranormal romance mystery writer, and her series name is called A Witch's Journey, and her book that we're spotlighting today is Chocolate Raspberry Magic. Yum!
Yes. The whole time I was writing that, I'd get to the point, you know, that chocolate raspberry magic, or, you know, they were having the ice cream. I'm like, and I have no ice cream in the house. What is wrong with this? So I went and grabbed a chocolate bar, and that was the only one in the house too.
Oh man, you couldn't even dip it in raspberry jam or anything. No. Oh man.
But afterwards, I went out and I got me some chocolate ice cream, and I got some raspberries, and I put them in a blender. Ooh. And then I sprinkle them over the mystic milk. And she didn't get any.
Oh, and what's your dog's name?
Mystic Rain.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Well, here's an idea chow for
with a big mouth.
Ice cream. Talenti has an amazing raspberry ice cream. It's doesn't have any milk in it. It's more like a sorbet.
Oh,
but it's like even your tongue is red after you're done eating it. But it's so flavorful and it's sugar free.
Oh,
wow.
I'm not kidding. My husband, he makes me buy 4 of them. He eats them all 4 every week.
And like, what's it called? Talenti?
Talenti.
Talenti.
Talenti is gelato. It's Italian. You find them at Winco and Safeway. Walmart has it. I think Target has it too.
Yeah.
It's like tubs this big, but it's the best ice cream ever.
Guess where I'm going after this.
Is that part of Wild Rose Press's? I know that they have their dessert
yes,
for ice cream.
One so scoop or two.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
It is one scoop or two. And then the characters actually came from a Witch's Journey series.
Oh,
so
cool.
It did double duty.
Oh, that's, boy, good for you. Okay, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? A little bit about Chocolate Raspberry Magic.
A prim and proper Trinity Shiloh is the assistant manager for Salem's Wildlife Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. She hasn't had much luck in the boyfriend department, but the new employee, Paul, is different. Deep and brooding, she sees something special hidden below the surface. Mm-hmm. Besides, she has secrets of her own.
Ooh.
And when Gwen hired him, he had a background of not very successful in the workplace after his war situation and his mission. He came back not altogether.
Okay.
And so she's understanding that he's got some baggage, but she sees more. And Paul Thorpe is a wounded Special Forces veteran who's now working security and computer support at Salem Sanctuary. He's fought hard to keep his demons in check. And for the first time, he feels like he might give a relationship with Trinity a try.
Ooh, I like it.
And when he's just thinking about that, he did take her to the little town that they are in. Lobster Cove. He went with her to, that's from Hidden Gypsy Magic.
Okay.
But he did go ahead and take her to the ball that they have every year.
Oh.
He didn't dance. He didn't do a whole lot, but he was there and he handled the situation.
He got her out of the, he got out of the house and gave it a go.
Yeah. And he handled it. Well, now they're back in Salem. And he's working for that particular rescue. And they are called, he's standing in her area.
Okay.
And they get a call from Gwen, who has gone to Puffin Cove to do a just for a little vacation.
Lovely.
And the little sanctuary there caught fire and burned down.
Oh.
And now they are asking all the other rescues around the area, which is also Lobster Cove and Salem, to come in and help them with the animals that are already there.
Okay.
That aren't, you know, some were burnt, some were, they didn't lose any, luckily. So they pack up their stuff, they pack up crates, they pack up everything they're told to take from the Salem Sanctuary and go to Puffin Cove, okay. Maine, and help out here. When they arrive, it's utter chaos, and he has a couple of flashbacks and nearly does a meltdown. Mm-hmm. But he pulls it together, and he does not want Trinity to have a problem with him. They've been doing so well. So he pulls it together and he takes care of business.
Okay.
And then as she is putting all this together and helping everybody out, she sticks her nose where it doesn't belong. She goes into the burnt out building because she has this feeling there's something there. There's something needs her, and she can't turn her back on it.
Oh,
and
boy.
She's had these type of feelings before, and she chose to ignore them, and with catastrophic results. So this time she goes in there and she's looking around and she hears a very low caw, and she's looking all over, turns over the wood, and she finds this little gray African Congo parrot laying on its side, and she doesn't know. She rips her backpack off, dumps everything out of it, picks the little bird up and puts it in the backpack and heads out. And she turns around, discovers just how deep she'd gone into this building.
Wow.
And the wind's blowing now and it's squeeing. And she's like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? About that time, Paul's discovered that she's missing. And he starts in that burnt out building and almost backs back out. And then he said, I've got to find her. So he goes in and he helps her get back out to start the situation with the little bird.
Wow, this is incredible. I like this story. Do you know, now with the PTSD and stuff, is this something that was a personal, is that a passion for you? Is that a cause that you...
it's a cause. I live in a military town.
Oh, good.
And we have 5 different military installations here.
Okay.
And I grew up here, and a neighbor of ours had PTSD, and it was before they actually called it that.
Yeah.
And my mom and I went into the house to take something. I can't remember whether it was eggs or something of that sort, you know, to the neighbor. And walked in, and he was under the kitchen table just screaming, you got to get out of here. They're going to kill us. Mm. And he had a hold of the table legs, and we're like, oh, okay. So we start backing out. His wife comes running downstairs and she says, it's going to be fine. You know, she totally ignores us and gets him out of that situation.
Mm.
And we just backed out and, you know, we left, and they later came over and kind of explained that this is the leftover from his experience in the war that he was in.
Yeah.
And I was probably 7 or 8 years old at the time. And that just stuck with me. I thought, my goodness, how awful to not even know something like that's coming. And there it is.
Yeah. Freedom isn't free. Yeah. That's for sure.
No, it sure isn't.
No, it's
not. And then I do a lot of wildlife rescue work with the organizations here in Colorado.
Oh, I love
that. So that is my passion.
I love that. That's really good. That's very inspirational. Yeah.
It makes you feel so good when you've gone in there and you've worked with this particular animal for anywhere from, you know, a year, 6 months to 2 years. And finally you walk in and it walks up to the gate where its enclosure is, and it looks up at you. Like, oh, I know you. You bring me good things.
Oh,
and you just want to melt into a little puddle of goo. You just do. And that never goes away. That just never goes away.
What was that?
No, I wanted to see if she lives around Colorado Springs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's where we were going to move. So
oh.
We're
talking
about these things.
Lovely. Andrea loves animals too. Yeah. So
there's lots of opportunities here.
I know.
Have parrot rescues.
What was like 7, 8 years ago, we're thinking of moving to Colorado Springs. So we spend some time there. You know, we checked out towns, locations, we drove around all the bases.
Yeah,
it's quite a unique place.
It is.
I don't think you can find any more diversity or anything anywhere else, because we have so wide a range of people coming in and out, influx all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
It was really cool, yeah.
Do you have a, so it's beautiful outside. I don't know what's doing in Colorado, but for Washington State, we're having a fabulous day today. So I do kind of feel like we're kind of moving into summer. And so one of my questions is, which is your favorite season to write in? And do you like the sunshine, or do you like cozying up with the snow outside, or what's your favorite season to?
Fall is my favorite season of all. Halloween is my favorite holiday. And that's as far as writing, I can write almost anytime, anywhere. I'm very lucky that way. I spent my younger life doing other things. I was a paralegal for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
I was a computer programmer for a little while. And then now I just kind of, everything seems to come out all the time, because I kept putting all the stories that I think about, I kept putting them aside. You know, when I've written since I was, seven, six, something like that. I used to write vampire stories and give them to my friends for Christmas.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you have.
My mom wasn't real thrilled, but that was fun.
You've written quite a few books, haven't you?
Yes, I think I have 15 since 2015.
Wow, good for you. That's really cool.
My first one came out with The Wild Rose. I think it was September of 2015.
Oh, I love it.
That was The Demon's Witch. And it was supposed to be a 3-series book, and that was it. But the sixth one comes out in July.
I love it. Okay, so picture this. You're feeling uninspired. You sat at the computer for an hour without conquering any words. How do you get your creativity flowing again?
I either take my parrot and we go out in the sunroom. Even, you know, when it's cold, it's warm out there. Yeah. Or else I pack up my dog and we go for a walk.
So you just take a little mini break and get yourself together.
Yeah, it works every time.
Ah, okay.
You know, it just depends on how long it takes me to go for a walk, or, you know, whatever. It's that getting away and looking at either the snow or the rain, or, you know, whatever it's doing outside, talking to my dog, telling her the story. She knows all my stories by heart, by the way.
Well, with all those books that you do write, how many drafts do you generally have to write before you get it ready to go?
Well, the first few, it took me a while. The craft is learned, and the only thing you can do is write and write and write and learn. And so I think the first two or three probably had maybe 10 revisions.
Yeah.
10, you know, going over it and going over it and going over it. The last one that I just finished and turned in, I think it had 3 revisions.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Because I used to go do it a skeleton one first, add the emotion, and then add the scenes and, you know, the scenic and that kind of stuff, set the scenes. But I've gotten to the point now that I can put all that together the first time around.
Wow, I love that that way that you did it, of layering for a beginning writer. That's a great way to do it, to just do it in layers.
Yeah, this is what I need, this, I don't have that, I need this, I don't have that, you know, all the way through. And that's why it took so many times, I believe. And now it's just down to the, I said, what? What word is that? And I have a terrible habit of leaving off the little words, like to and and, you know, I guess I read right over them.
Oh,
and
wow.
I turn it over to my husband, who is my critique partner. He's a tough son of a gun, let me tell you. And he says, okay, I'm looking for the little words and the quotation marks.
Oh, yeah.
He said, the quotation marks, he said, it's just, He said, those are the things that you forget.
Yeah.
You don't see.
Yeah.
And I can't catch them for nothing.
Oh, wow.
I think it's probably because I wrote it. I know what it says. I know what's supposed to be there and I just see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't think about it. You don't think about it. You just keep moving on. Yeah.
Yeah.
What book have you read that you wish you had written?
The trilogy for, I think the first one was A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Good series.
I discovered that, oh, I don't know, in 2000, when it first came out.
Okay.
I saw her on one of the talk shows, or one of my coworkers when I worked in the law firm told me about it, and I went and looked, and I went, oh yeah, this is right up my alley.
Oh wow! And my daughter was the one that turned me onto those books, and they're really good. I love the series is okay. I always, you know, you watch this. Have you watched the series? Yeah. So you know, you never know what you're going to get with the series, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the characters are pretty good. I think they got the actors pretty good, except for Marcus.
Didn't
do it on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. So what is next for you? What's coming up the pike?
What's coming up the pike? I have put on the back burner since, oh, wow, probably 2012, a cozy mystery series that I wrote one of them. And then sorry about that.
That's okay.
I sketched out the other two. I am not a plotter. I am a panster from the word go, but I wrote down what should happen in the next two books.
Oh, cool.
And then I went ahead and went on with the other books that I had. So I have cleaned that one up and the first one and polished it. And I think it's probably going to go out in January.
Oh, wow. Good.
My editor.
Good. Good.
The first one.
Yeah.
And then see if she's interested in the whole series and see what they do. It's about a small town sheriff, basically. And he's retiring. His daughter worked for the CIA and she has left that employment due to some serious problems, and she goes home. And when she goes home, the boy that she had a crush on since she was 7 or 8 years old has returned to clear up his grandmother's estate.
Oh,
and he has not decided whether he's going back to the Navy SEALs or not.
Okay. Okay.
Point.
Okay.
And that's a three series. Three books in that series.
Oh, lovely. Well, good for you. Boy, so I guess my last question would be, what would you most like to say to the readers out there and the listeners?
Well, I have a new book coming out in July,
okay,
which is A Witch's Quandary. That is the sixth book in a Demon's Witch series.
Okay.
Make sure you have ice cream in the house when you read Chocolate Raspberry Magic. Otherwise, you're going to starve to death. And I appreciate every single one of my readers.
Oh.
I love them to death. Yeah. And feel free to email me or contact me at any of my social medias. I'd love to talk to you.
Okay, perfect. Well, and if you would like to learn more about Tina Stettler or find any of her books, you can find her at tinastettler.com, and that's Tina with an E, stettler.com, or go, actually she's on today on Jenny's Tattletales doing a character interview, so you can go on there, and we will have all of her links as well, so to her books and to her page, everything. So just really thank you so much for coming on today, and I'm glad we connected, and this worked out really great.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it so much. It has been wonderful.
Okay.
You guys have a good time.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.